Okay, so we're picking up in the middle. Recording is picking up in progress, but we're just discussing the Brisker Rav's question over here. Why is it that it would make sense, according to one man d'amar, to start the genus when we say maschal genus masayim b'shavach, to start from mitchila ovdei avodah zarah yoseinu? And a couple of the guys raised some interesting points. The Brisker Rav's idea actually, I think, incorporates a lot of what was said. And basically, his idea is as follows. We say in the Pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hoseisi Eschem Eretz Yisrael, Lios Lachem Lelukim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I took you out of Egypt to bring you out and to make you unto a people that would follow me. People that would follow the word of the Creator. So the whole purpose of Yisrael Mitzrayim was to forge these individuals into Klal Yisrael, which would be the people who ultimately be the Orla Gaim, be the nation unto the light unto the nations. But more specific, as far as the pasuk is concerned, Lios Lachem Lelukim. I took you out so that I would be your God and you would be my people. So if that's the case, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah makes good sense, because we're showing that that's the exact antithesis of the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. As the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to have a people that would follow God. So what's, if that's the purpose of Yisrael Mitzrayim, so what's the worst thing that you could say about these people? That they started out as people that were totally in opposite with that ideal. Right? Totally in opposite with the ideal of a creator, and a creator that was involved in the world, in terms of Hashgacha. Okay. That was a nice point.
Does it really begin, I will be your God and you will be
mine? I am Hashem, your Lord, who took you out of Egypt, took you out of the land of Egypt,
in order to
be unto you as a God.
What
do you say?
But it's based on our jumping up.
Recognition.
Yep.
That's a good point. Right. I'm obviously not saying that God doesn't need people to accept him in order to be God.
Right. He's good.
That's right. But in order to establish the relationship, then there needs to be a recognition of the people of God as the creator, as the ruler of the universe. Very good. Danny, you said something before that I think is also important to discuss. Who is the Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah HaYoseinu that we're talking about?
Well, not Avraham Avinu, his father.
That's a good question. That's a good question. What does the Haggadah say? Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah HaYu Avoseinu.
Well, that's where they started from. Thinking about the
But who's Avos? Who's Avos saying it?
Avram is Yaakov.
Okay.
No, Terach.
Terach is not one of the Avos.
Right.
We never refer to Terach.
It started from there, though.
Okay. We definitely don't refer to Terach. When you say, okay, who are the Avos? Like you said, we say Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He's keeping me honest. He's trying to keep me honest. What's that? We don't say, right. Right, we don't say Terach Avram and Yitzchak. We don't say that. So obviously there's a reference here to Avram Avinu. What's the point? So the Rambam says that Avram Avinu actually was, at least in his earlier days, he was an idolater. He himself. Now, not everyone agrees with that. That's the sheet of the Rambam. You could look in Hilchos Avos, Kochavim Mazalos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Avram Avinu also was an Oved of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it's most likely the case that the Haggadah, I think I once heard Rav Shachter Shlita say this as well, that the Haggadah is clearly talking about Avram. He didn't specifically talk about the Rambam's position, but he felt it's Mitchila Oved of Avodah Zarah HaYoseinu, a reference to Avram Avinu. So one second, what's the Raya that the Haggadah brings that Mitchila Oved of Avodah Zarah HaYoseinu? Shenermar, Pasuk in Yeshua, Perikov Dalet, right, Shneimar vayom Yeshua al kol ha'om ko amar Adonai el ha'Yisrael ve'ivar hanah Yeshua v'seicher me'olam Terach avi Avraham v'avi Nachor v'yavdu Elohim acherim.
Avram's included in there. He originally also was.
Avram's included. That's right. But look what the pasuk saying. The pasuk speaking about Terach. So I think that's what leads many people to assume that Mitzvah Avodah Zarah saying we're talking about Terach, because look, the pasuk teaches pasuk talks about the antecedents of Avraham Avinu starting with Terach. Terach avi Avraham, va'avi Nachor, va'yavdu false gods. Vaikaches avichem es Avraham me'Avraham nor v'lechoso b'chol eretz Kanan va'arbez zaro v'etem lo Yitzchak v'etem li Yitzchak es Yaakov v'seisav v'etem li Yisav es Harsei yela reshes haso v'Yaakov v'nov yardu Mitzrayim. Then it talks about Avram. So the Brisker Rav want to say that what the pasuk here is, you have to say what the pasuk means when it says Terach avi Avraham. It's mashma that we're not necessarily talking about Terach as much as we are to Avraham.
So the Rishpat said that.
That what?
Avram originally worshipped idols like his father, but later came to recognize his creator and smashed the idols.
Good. So he's saying also,
that's the result. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu got close to Avram by that.
Yeah. Very good. But he's also saying that's the intention of the Baal HaGadah.
Is that not the Rosh HaGadah?
No. This is a compendium of. We had the Rosh HaGadah here the other day. I think we have one in the back.
This is just quotes a bunch of different.
This is actually. Listen, granted, a lot of them are just collections of things that put in other HaGadahs. That's true, but. It is interesting.
Last Saturday in the New York, is the interfaith they're referring to wasn't us and Reform, maybe?
I don't know.
No,
I think it's the right interview. Okay. Anyway, let's get back. Let's get back to Agatha. But I was thinking the other day, I haven't fully worked out the idea, maybe we could discuss it together, but I was thinking along the following lines. The Baal HaGadah here is trying to bring proof to the fact that Avram Avinu was, at least according to the Brisker Rav, that Avram Avinu was an idolater, like the Rambam says. That's what he means when he says, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yavaseinu. And what's the Raya? Oh, I bring you a pasuk speaking about Terach. So the Brisker Rav says, oh, the focus really is not so much Terach as it is his son Avram. I thought there was a tremendous Moser Haskel over there. What is that? We say very often, Maisa Avos Simon Labonim. And we know that in terms of the way a child is raised, there's a tremendous impact that is made upon that child based on the actions of his father, based upon the environment in which he's raised. So it's almost as though we're being told, of course, Avram Avinu in his earliest days was an idolater. Look who raised him. Look who his father was. Right? Mitchilo Avdeva Zayu was saying, how do I know it? Oh, look, I quote you a pasuk that talks about Terach, his father. So, Farshtetzach, that he was a Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay, when he was older and he was able to break away on his own because he was the great person that he was, he did so. But I think it underscores the fact that as parents and grandparents, or future parents and future grandparents, we have a tremendous achrayus. You have to realize that the things that we do have an effect on future generations. And kids aren't born in vacuums for the most part. They're raised in certain homes, and they're affected by what they see and what they're taught and what they hear, even if it's not actively taught to them. They observe the father every day and go on worshiping Getchkas, that's going to make an impact.
Not too many people would be able to break away from that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Avram was unique in that sense. That's not so kosher.
Musar Maskil is called?
No, I'm saying the Musar Haskil.
Musar Haskil is like
something that you could understand. A lesson that you can understand. Yeah. A lesson that can be taught. A takeaway.
Haskil literally mean?
Yeah. Okay, in any event, so that's Mitzkil Ovdei Barazor. He was saying, let's work our way back a little bit, back to... earlier, again, just acknowledging that each part of the Haggadah really teaches us something about Sipur Yisius Mitzrayim. Going back to Avadim Hayinu, we see clearly, Avadim Hayinu, we're talking about Sipur, and what do we say at the end of that passage? Even if we were all Chachamim, even if we were all Nevonim, even if we were all Zakenim, even if we were all Yodei HaSatora, Mitzalino Sapi Yisius Mitzrayim. Again, we're being told that Sipur is not just to relate information. It's not just to give over information to people who don't have it. Because look, even if we were all wise, even if we were all understanding, even if we were all righteous, you know, we knew the Torah entirely, we would still have a mitzvah to be Mesapi Sipur Yisius Mitzrayim. It's the act of being involved in telling over the story and discussing the story that we're charged with. Even if everyone knows all the details, it's a mitzvah to talk about it. The Kol HaMarbe Sapi Sipur Yisrayim, HaRizei Meshuvach, and the more you speak about it, the more involved you are in this mitzvah, the greater the kiyum, the greater the fulfillment, the more enhanced your mitzvah is. And as proof to that, right away, the Haggadah goes ahead and tells us what? Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, who we know were people who could certainly fall into the category of Yodim Es HaTorah, and nonetheless, what happened? The whole night. What do you mean? They had so many questions that they couldn't answer, that they needed information, they were missing details, they were discussing all night. No, Pashtus says that they were involved in a qualitative discussion of all the things pertaining to Sipri Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Until what? Until their Talmidim came and said, hey, it's time for a Shema. You see from here also another thing, as long as we're mentioning it, why were they speaking about it up until the point of Shema? Don't you have to finish your Afikoman by at least Chatzos, the way we generally assume? Right?
So you should have said up until Afikoman.
Should have said, yeah, it's time to bench or something like that. It's time to eat the Afikoman. Not it's time to say Shema. So there's another halacha. There's another halacha that's actually brought down in the Ramah, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
I'm good. It's okay.
I'm pretty sure it's in the Ramah. I just can't tell you what Simon said.
Is all Masa in the Oraisa?
Well, what? Oh, okay. So that's what you see. That's why the Baha'i God is bringing this passage in to say, even though you finished the Magid portion of the Seder, yeah, you could get a check in your Magid box, and you moved on to Afikoman, you went on to benching, and you maybe even said Hallel, there's still a Kiyum in being involved in Sipur Yisif Mitzrayim. In fact, the Tosefta, in Psochim, in the 10th Perek, in Avi Psochim, brings... More than have Tosefta. In any event, the Tosefta says in Avi Psochim, the Chayiv Adam Lasuk B'Hilchos HaPesach, Kol HaLaila. Person has to be involved in Hilchos Pesach, Kol HaLaila, Afilu Beino LeBein Beno, even just between himself and his son. And then that same Tosefta goes on to recount the following. Maisa B'Rabban Gamliel V'Zekeinim Shayim Mesubin B'Bayis B'Beis Baitos Bein Zunin B'Lud. That's where it was. Vahayu asukin behilchos haPesach kalayla ad kiros hagever. It's a slightly different ma'isa than our Haggadah brings. Ma'isa Relazar Rabbi Yeshua, Relazar Ben Azariah, that Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, that were involved in Bnei Brak. So this event took place not far from Lud, not far from where Ben Gurion Airport is today, if assuming it's the same Lud. And what were they involved with? Hilchos haPesach. And what's the reason for telling me that? Oh, because Chayev Adam Lasok Vilchos HaPesach Kol HaLaila. Hilchos HaPesach. Hilchos HaPesach. And in fact, that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Tuf Pei Aleph. Sif Beis. Chayev Adam Lasok Vilchos HaPesach B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. If I'm not mistaken, the Lashon over there is until he's overcome by sleep. Until sleep grabs him. Until he's grabbed up by his slumber. What's the point of that? The point is that a person, it's a certain quality of seaborne. He's supposed to be involved. And when is it that you're putter? When you're overcome by sleep. At that point, then you could say that you were involved to the proper degree. But that's even, like Jonah said, after Magid is technically over. This is Kol HaLaila. And the Torah writes, for example, the Torah writes, Ein maftinach ha-pesach ha-fikom, and ha-nishol alechol, aval lemesh bishari. You could drink after the ha-fikom, we said, water.
Rondo my seder. I can sell like iced tea or something like that. Flavor.
U'minag poshet hu-shol lushtos yayim.
Huh?
The Torah says to drink yayim. I'm sorry, it's a minag not to drink yayim. Upirish Harav Rabbeinu Yonah Tamla Minag Lafisha Chayiv Adam Laso Kol Ha'ilah Bechusah Pesach Yisus Mitzrayim. The Torah says, you know why there's a minig not to drink wine? Not because of Ein Matiyanach HaPesach Avikomen. Ein Matiyanach HaPesach Avikomen means you don't eat anymore. Why is it that you don't drink wine? Because we want to make sure that you don't fall asleep from drinking all the wine. What are you supposed to be doing now? You're supposed to be talking the Hilchus HaPesach Yisus Mitzrayim. Ulesaper Benisim Uneflo She'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu La'avosenu Ad She'tachafenu Sheinu. This is from the Torah. The Torah says that you're supposed to be involved in talking about the story of the Exodus from Egypt and the halachos of Pesach until you're overcome by sleep. And if you drink wine, you're going to induce that sleep sort of in an artificial way. It's not going to come about through this involved story or this involved discussion of halacha. It's going to come about because you're drinking wine. Yeah.
So when are you not supposed to drink the wine?
after?
Yeah, coming. Even after coming, exactly.
But you would expect by the Tom situation that you couldn't drink wine anyway.
So that's what the Torah's lashon is, that only refers to eating, not to drinking. On a simple level.
Ah, so he would be fine with coffee.
The Torah?
Yeah.
It would seem that way. I'm not saying that's what you're paskin, but I'm saying that's the way the Torah records the halacha.
By the way, whenever we get a topic, we'll...
Okay, cool. So the Torah continues, and he says, "V'im yishtei shtaker v'zeh shushnina ma'isav Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shur Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah." The Torah, at least in the name of the Rav Rabbi Yonah, says that's why this is here. That's why this ma'isa is here. That's why the Baal HaGadol put in ma'isav Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shur Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Rabbi Akiva to teach you this halacha, to teach you that it's proper for a person to engage in sipur, quote unquote, even after Mag is over, even after Hallel, until. So he can't do it anymore. V'zeu shushanino ma'isav Elazar Rabbi Yeshua shahim esaprim b'yisis mitzrayim kol halayla. So you see a number of things from here. You see, A, that there's a kiyum in discussing the sipur even after Magid is officially over. That's why it's here. But you also see that what? That it's proper to talk about halacha as well. See, it's interesting. Go back for 1 second. I'll take your question in 1 second. If I'm not mistaken, the Lashon of the Gemara is like that. The Lashon of the Gemara the Lashon of the Gemara in the Mishnah referring to Manish Tana. The Mishnah, rather. Sorry, the Mishnah. No, it's the Gemara. Chacham b'no sho'alo, v'mein chacham ishto sho'alto. V'im lav hu sho'al atzmo. We discussed this. Afilu shnei tamim chacham sh'yodin behilchos Pesach. Sho'alom zelzeh. What would you expect the Gemara to say? Two chachamim who know the whole story. Two chachamim that know the whole story, you don't have what to talk about. No, you still have to talk about it. What does the Gemara say? Two chacham who know all the halachos still have to ask the questions. So you see, a fundamental component of Sipur is also discussing the mitzvos, the halachos of Pesach. And that's why we find in the Tosefta that it's a mitzvah to be engaged in Hilchos HaPesach Kol HaLaila. Again, that's even after Magid, and that's brought down the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Lest you think this is something that's only in Tosefta, and maybe it's only in the Tur. That is not the case. It's actually brought down la halacha in Tuf Pei Aleph Sif Beis Chayev Adam Lasok Bechsa Pesach Lisias Mitzrayim.
Where is it?
In Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Tuf Pei Aleph Sif Beis. And the Gra talks about it in Sifkat and Aleph over there, and also again in Tuf Ayin Vav Aleph. The Gra says, V'tanya b'tosefta. The Gra makes recourse to Tosefta. Chayav Adam Lasok Bilchas HaPesach Kol HaLaila. So the Gra also included this girsa of halacha, not just the story. It's proper to talk about the story, of course, but a separate idea of discussing halachos as well. Okay, and again, that fits in nicely with what we said before, that one of the fundamental components of Sipur, as opposed to Zechira, is that you also discuss the mitzvos halayla. Remember, Sipur has three characteristics that are unique to it, unlike Zechira. Sipur must involve a discussion of all of the chain of events. Maschel b'gnos m'sayim b'shevach. Two is that it's a dialogue format, unlike Zechira. And three is that it also involves a discussion of the mitzvos halayla. And we see that...
When do you discuss that? When do you...
Well, at different times, you see, ready according to the Rambam, the earliest part of Magid is a discussion of the mitzvot halayla. Manish Tana, you're already then talking about it, and towards the end of the Magid, we talk about it again when we say Rami Gamliel Hayomer Kol Shlo Omer Shlo Shlo Dvarim Elu Pesach Layotzu Dechavaso Pesach Matzah Mora. So from time to time, the halachos are part of the sipur themselves. Sorry, part of the sipur itself.
So you said there are three things, there are three requirements. Do you want?
There are three characteristics to sipur. One is the Matzil B'Gnus and Messiah B'Shevach, that general format that you start with the Nadir and you build up to the Acme, Apex,
and
Matzil B'Gnus
and
Messiah B'Shevach, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we spoke about earlier before we started recording. And the question and answer format, and the discussion of the mitzvot, so the halachos. None of that is part of Zechira. Well, let's move further. We're not going to get to everything, but I'm just trying to make some general observations here. Nothing too earth-shattering. The next passage always seemed a little bit strange to me in terms of why it's in the Haggadah. Why do I say that? Because what does that have to do? What does the next passage? Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei Ani Kiven Shimon Shana, V'Loz Achisei Shetel Mesiyus Mitzrayim Balelos, until Ben Zoma came along with his drasha, and then we were able to sleep at night because I had a proof of my position. Well, what exactly are they talking about?
Which one are you on now?
Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What's he talking about? It's talking about saying Shema at night, right? The whole discussion of Elazar ben Azariah is regarding what we would call Zechira. The mitzvah of Zechira, Sisiyas Mitzrayim.
He's saying that he didn't know it was supposed to be at night.
Prove it.
Right. Where's the source? He's saying, where's the Makor for it?
But what does it have to do with tonight? What does that have to do with the 15th of Nisan? L'chor, this paragraph has nothing to do with the Haggadah. It has nothing to do with... It mentions Mitzrayim. It's true. But what mitzvah is that? This mentioning of Mitzrayim. This is the mitzvah of Zechira. This is the daily mitzvah, not the annual mitzvah of Sipur.
Which section? Remember
that? Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah.
You're saying this is pointing out to me the Zechira aspect. Where does it tell me I have to do with Sipur?
This is not about Sipur. Right, it's not about Sipur. So I saw two things. Really, they both go hand in hand. One I saw in the Emek Bracha was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, and he said basically that that's exactly why it's here. It's here precisely to show that there's a different mitzvah tonight, that there is a mitzvah called Sipur that's unique. Don't think, let us not be confused and think that Sipur is just the same mitzvah as Zechira. How do you know that? Because look, we're gonna show you. We're going to put this other discussion in here about Zechira to make it clear that there's a separate institution called Zechira, Sisiyas Mitzrayim.
So where's the separate thing for Sipur?
This everything is, else is Sipur.
Everything else. Just tell me I have an obligation to do Zechira.
That's every other day. That's don't think that tonight is like every other day. Right. Don't think it. Because there's difference. There's something different called Zechira Sisiyas Mitzrayim.
So it's basically including the contrast effect.
A contrast, exactly. It's for the purpose of the contrast. Exactly right. And it's funny. The second thing that I had seen, which I never saw until this year, I have to be honest, it's a little interesting, that the girsa of the Rambam is Omar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The implication is that this discussion, according to the Rambam, took place at the Seder table, or on Seder night. Omar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they're sitting there talking, and he tells them, oh, you want to know something? I was never able to prove that you have to say Parshas Kriya Shema at night until Ben Zoma's drasha. Well, why are you having that discussion now? What does that do to anything? So this is a tribute to the Brisker Rav. That since there's a kiyum, since there's a kiyum in Sipur Yisiyas Mitzrayim, when a person discusses the halachos that pertain to Pesach and Yisiyas Mitzrayim, so he's telling them this halacha also. About the mitzvah of Zechira, which again, in terms of distinguishing it from Sipur. But the point is that he was talking about Dafka then. He was telling them a halacha. He wasn't telling them anything about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, per se, but he's telling them there's a different mitzvah of Sipur. There's a mitzvah of Zechira, and I'm showing you by telling you right now. It's essentially the same idea as the Emek Bracha, just in terms of the contrast aspect. They were talking about Hilchos Pesach, and he said, oh, you want to know something? There's another halacha over here in terms of Zechira. And that's why the Rambam has the girsa of Omer Lahem, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that he was actually doing it for that purpose. He was discussing it for that purpose. As a key in discussing the halachas of pertaining to Sipur. In other words, that wasn't just the Baal HaGadol's intent, but that was Rav Elazar ben Azariah's intent at the time when he had this discussion, to discuss the actual distinction between Sipur and Zechira. I'm just saying that's what comes from the fact that the Rambam's gear says Omer Lahem. He himself said it for that purpose. That was his motivations for discussing it.
So again, Zichron is on every day.
Zechira is every day.
Every
day.
Every day after.
Every day. The next paragraph, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, it's a form, basically, of Berachas HaTorah. Again, we're praising Hashem for giving us the Torah, which unlike other disciplines, unlike other chachmos, can be appreciated by people on different levels. Meaning, Torah speaks to every person where he is. When it comes to, let's say, math, whatever, geometry, either you get it or you don't get it. And if you don't get it, you're not benefiting from it. Either you got it or you don't.
No,
Torah is different. What's that?
You still benefit. It's just you have to teach at the level that the individual is at.
It's okay. Is that
yeah, well, I think it's analogy? True for all science.
That what?
For
subject to degree?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be appreciated on different levels. Okay, then it's bad. If that's the truth, then what I'm saying is not accurate. But in any event, that's what the Baal HaGadol is trying to demonstrate here, that the godless, if you will, of Torah is, that it could speak to all the different personalities, all the different students that may exist. That was the reason why I say that is a famous idea from Reb Chaim. I mean, I remember as a kid, he used to say that over the name of Reb Chaim, that when it comes to Chachmas Ha'olam, the Sifrei Chachmas Umas Olam, their texts that you learn, maybe that was the idea. I'm sorry. Maybe that was the idea. That there are different texts for each level.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea. In other words, when you... You exactly what you know, I was saying. You have to teach a different component of that.
Yeah.
Of that discipline. You know, when I took math, I had sequential math. So each level was integrated for the 9th grade, for the 10th grade, for the 11th grade. It was an integration of geometry, trigonometry, and whatever the other type of math is that they... I don't think it was calculus. I don't think it was calculus, but whatever it was. And then they would do the same thing on the next level. It was integrated, but I guess more sophisticated, and so on to the next level. But I want to say that that's not the way Torah is. Torah is it's the same Torah. It's not like, you know, it's level 1, level 2, level 3. It's the same Torah, and you're just benefiting from the Torah on a deeper level. It's not like a different text altogether. It's not like we have to present it, you know, in this way, and then present it in this way. It's different. Yeah, maybe you want to help with the analogy?
Lechavdil, it's like Shakespeare.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you can read it as a 7th grader, and you can get some ideas.
Right, any literature like
high
that.
School, exactly.
Right.
So any deep literature, it's just the Torah is the deepest of all literature.
Right. So that's, you want to say, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, that it's a pella of the Torah. And that's why we say, Baruch Shanasan Torah Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah, meaning each one, according to his own ability, could benefit from the Torah as it is. Right? You don't need a different version. You don't need to get the beginner's version or the advanced version. It's the Torah. And like Yonah said, every time you come back to it, based on where you are in life, you're going to get benefit from it. Okay. Then we go through the four sons. I'm just going to skip that for the time being, in the interest of time. Let's just go to Yochel Merosh Chodesh. There again, we're being taught halachos of the Seder. Being taught the halachos of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do you mean? Well, the whole passage here is dealing with when do you do Sipur? When is it the mitzvah to engage in Sipur? Yochel Merosh Chodesh. Well, maybe I should begin telling the story on Rosh Chodesh. No. Talmud Lomar Bayom Hu. Okay, Bayom Hu. So maybe I'll say when? Miba Ol Yom. V'yotzei Sipri Tzadar Miba Ol Yom. Meaning on the 14th of Nisan. So what do we say to that? No. Not on the 14th. Bavor Zeh. What's Bavor Zeh? So here too, again, we see the Haggadah discussing the halachos of the mitzvah of Sipur. And not only that, within this discussion, we see that there's an interplay between Sipur and what? And the other mitzvahs halayla. Namely, matzah maror, obviously korban Pesach also, but b'shosh matzah maror munachim lefanecha is integral to Sipur.
So we can do it earlier.
Sipur must involve, exactly, since the mitzvahs of the night only begin as of Tesvav Nisan, you can't have those mitzvahs earlier. Ba'avor Zeh tells you that Sipur must go hand in hand with the mitzvahs halayla. Sipur could only exist when those mitzvahs exist.
Why would you think it was the first month of
redemption? You could say Nisan, yeah, exactly. Nisan is the month of redemption. In fact, in Talmud, talks about Nisan as being the Nisan. Nigalu ube Nisan asidun higal. Nisan, we look at Nisan as the month of redemption. We redeemed the Nisan, we ultimately redeemed the Nisan.
Really?
But that's what the Gemara says.
Sure.
And in this newly printed Haggadah from Mosar Hav Kook, the Pirush of the Gaon Elita gives another interpretation of why you would think you'd start from Rosh Chodesh. So he says here, Bia Rabbi Yaakov Meir Padva mi brisk. Al Pimadi Ita from the Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Rava the Kuyama Rosh Chodesh Asul Midbar Sinai. Everyone says that they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. Ksiv hacha b'yom hazeh bo Midbar Sinai. Ksiv halsam hachodesh hazeh lechem Rosh Chodeshim. Ma lo halam Rosh Chodesh, afkan Rosh Chodesh. So he wanted to say, I'm not so familiar with this personality, but whoever he was, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Padva from Brisk, he wanted to say that since it says b'avor zeh over here, so we'll say, im kein zeh she'omar yocham Rosh Chodesh, haynu d'neilev zeh me'achodesh hazeh lechem. Tamalom b'yom hu. Therefore, this Zeh comes to teach you something else, B'shal Shematzah Menachem Lefanecha, not the Zeh from the Limud and the Gemara pertaining to Rosh Chodesh. This is more of a technical reason. I would think the same Zeh that teaches me Rosh Chodesh in those two psukim teaches me Rosh Chodesh over here. No, this Zeh is a different Zeh. It's more technical. It's not a philosophical answer. It's just a... See, Reb Chaim Salvitik, in explaining Yochel Mibod Yom, is quoted as having said, based on Tosos in Psachim, that without the Hekesh of Matzah Amora to Pesach, it says, V'achlu es basar es ha-basar b'layl hazeh, I would think that you could be Yotzei Dechiv of Matzah Amora at an earlier time, not necessarily Dafka during the time of Karim Pesach. Just like I could eat the Shabbos meal and the Yontif meal earlier, I'll make it Yontif, I'll make it Shabbos, and I'll eat that meal. So I'll also be able to eat matzah and maror when I say it's Pesach. I'll say it's Pesach. We know Lamaisa. We don't start Yontif early on Pesach night because you can't have the first of the Dal and Kops, Dal Kosos, until Tesav Nisan. Tosef HaShabbos, let's say during the summer. Shabbos starts, 8 o'clock, 7, late 7. Then I say, you know what? Make Shabbos early. Make Shabbos early to a point. Can't make it in the morning.
No more than
I can make it up to Plag. Anytime after Plag Amenta.
You're saying it's going into the 15th?
I'm talking about the 14th. Let's say
you can have one of the cups has to go on the 15th. You're saying
it has to be the first cup has to be on the 15th. It's a mitzvah of the 15th of Nisan. Can't have it on earlier on the day.
That's
like I can make Yontif earlier. I can say it's Yontif, but I can't make it Pesach. Pesach can only come back on the 15th of Nisan. I can't make it a new calendar day. So Reb Chaim says, without this, right? This is based on, like I said, this is based on Milan Tosos. Without this Hekesh, there'd be reason to think that I could have my matzah and maror earlier. So, Yochel Miba'od Yom, I would think that it could be Yotzei Mechiv of Sipur during that same time. Tosefes Yomtev. It's Yomtev, so why can't I do the halachas of Yomtev? Oh, so that's why the Haggadah comes to tell us, no, Ba'avor Zeh. What's Pshat Ba'avor Zeh? No, Sipur and Matzah and Morah go together. And we already know that Matzah and Morah can't be done because of the Hekesh Tekor and Pesach. Mitzvah Sipur is only during the time when Matzah and Morah are Menachem Lefanecha. And since Matzah and Morah can't be done during Tosefes, so too, Ba'avor Zeh teaches us that Magid also can only be done later when it is actually the 15th of Nisan.
So the Sipur has to be on Tesvav.
Exactly.
But isn't that automatically learned out from the point that you made about the first coast being on Tesvav?
And I'm just telling you that. I'm just telling you that. That's rabbinic. I mean, the four cups are rabbinic. I'm just telling you that practically. That today, once we have dalakosos, they also have to be done, right? I mean, it could be that we learn that out because of this. You know, it's just like, well, these mitzvahs can't be done until it's tetzvah because of the connection to Korban Pesach. So too, all the rabbinic mitzvahs, like the dalakosos, would also not be able to be done until it's tetzvah.
Okay, so all mitzvahs.
Not all the mitzvahs of the Seder.
Of Seder.
Right. You can make it Yontif, you just can't make it the 15th of Nisan.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
We're doing this on Sunday also?
I'll get Shiant on there.
You have permission?
Yeah. For part of the time.
Wait, to do what? There's going to be Shiant?
No, not here. Okay, this is just, I guess, more. I don't want to say cute,
very
we don't usually talk about Chagadia. We don't really talk about Chagadia too often. Chagadia is part of Nirtzo, which doesn't often get too much billing, but I saw an interesting shot in one of the Rishonim talking about Chagadia. The Tashbates says about the Chagadia that Chagadia was specifically written as a riddle. Right? It was written as a riddle so that every person would approach the riddle and want to give his pshat in terms of how it connects to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, it must have something to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, otherwise why would whoever have written it for the purpose of incorporation in the Haggadah, in the liturgy of Tetzvah Nisan. So obviously it pertains to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim somehow. So by doing it in this way, making it sort of elusive and making it somewhat obtuse, each person when he reads it is going to try to, if you will, add his own two cents to explain. He says it was done dafkin that way to draw people in to see where you see it's Mitzrayim. Chagadia? It's right where your other finger is. No, the other way, all the way down. Right there. Right? So he says it was dafka written that way so that each person would be inspired and they would get involved in Sipur, and that really sort of dovetails with what the Rambam says, and you mentioned this the other day, Yona, that a kiyum in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is that each person should come to Sipur and add in his own way, right, in his own language, express the Sipur. Kifit Sachas Lashono.
Did I say that?
In his own words, yeah.
All right, sounds good.
Didn't you say that the Rambam says that?
I have no idea, but I'm...
Are you all for that?
Yeah.
Right, so the Rambam has in his discussion of how the mitzvah of Sipur should be done, he says that each person should speak out the story Kifit Sachas Lashono in his own words, tell over the story. So this sort of fits in with this pshat of the Chagadia, that it's in order to get a person to say, oh yeah, this is what it means, and this is the way it works, and right? And we'll just conclude with this. I saw an interesting tshuva from the Chidah. Chidah says that apparently he was asked about a particular person who mocked the Chagadia. He made fun of it, and they put him in Chayrim. Then they asked the Chidah, is this a good Chayrim? Is it a binding Chayrim? And he says, yeah, a guy like that deserves to be put in Chayrim. Chagadia was said by generations upon generations of righteous people and Chachamim, and he said it wasn't written by Stam people, it was written by a Chacham, and it was incorporated in the Haggadah by Chacham, it's there for a reason, and no one should make light of it. And yeah, he deserves to be put in Chayrim. So I guess I have nothing else, even if we don't maybe take Nirtza so seriously, we should at least be sensitive to the fact that there were very wise people who engineered that part of the Seder, and it was incorporated for a reason.
My Seder gets really weird at the end.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes people sort of give it short shrift. But even, I know, not so much sleeping. You see sometimes people, machayzik, you know, they make fun of it. They say, just songs. They're ideas there also. I mean, it's just up to us to try to, you know, uncover them. And the Rishonim spent time discussing these things. The Achronim spent time discussing things. So it's hard just to dismiss them out of hand. It's one thing if you say, it's not my minig, I don't do it, or the Rambam didn't have it, that's fine. But to say that everyone else who does it is wasting their time and it's nonsensical, that's a little bit hard to say.
We do the end.